the Catechism of the Catholic Church. Question. Now, the kingdom of Christ already exists. Strange question. It is mainly asked because we are here speaking of Jesus Christ, who is to come to judge the human race. The answer is yes. Christ is already head of the kingdom he came to establish. Jesus is King of the Church triumphant, King of the Church militant and suffering. On all three levels, Christ is the ruler and judge of his people. We cannot say that his kingdom has yet to come into existence. This is crucial. We believe that when God became man, the person of Jesus Christ, he did establish his kingdom. His church came into existence the moment he died on the cross. And this again is our faith. We believe the church as the bride of Christ was born the moment our Lord expired on Calvary. And now we ask, has Christ's kingdom reached its final fulfillment? And the answer is no. And that for several reasons. First, the powers of evil are not yet fully vanquished or subject to Christ. The devil, we know, is still very active. He will not be finally and decisively conquered until the last day. And let's believe it, the devil is extraordinarily active. One of my conversations with the chief exorcist of Rome, I asked him, would you say that the devil is, well, more active, more ambitious than ever before, given the widespread evil going on throughout the world? And he said, no. So I asked him, but then how do you explain the phenomenal evil? And he said, it's not because the devil is more active. It's because human beings are more passive. So I asked him to explain, what do you mean? They are more passive because so much of the world, especially the Western world, is so immersed in the things of this world, bewitched, shall we say, bedeviled. Remember, this was one of the three temptations that the devil used in trying to seduce Jesus Christ at the beginning of his public ministry. You don't make a nation which is the envy of the rest of the world. The best fed, the most entertained, the longest lived, the least suffering nation in the world. What a statement. This, in spite of what the statisticians will tell you, is part of the strategy of the evil spirit. This past January, I spent 3+ weeks in Calcutta, India. From where I was staying at a residence to the mother house of the Missions of Charity, about 3 blocks. I never, whether early in the morning or late at night, I never walked those 3 blocks without, I'm not exaggerating, scores of children, starving children, begging for food. Skin and bone. Some of their bodies seem to have no flesh on at all. Since last January, I've been telling how many Americans, and I mean every syllable, the Americans are living, and I mean it, in a dream world. Most of the human race goes to bed hungry every night. You walk the streets of Calcutta, and you have to step over bodies. And you're not sure those bodies are still alive or already dead. Homes run by the Missions of Charity, hundreds of residents, all day long, men doing nothing but making coffins. Where do we begin? What do I say? How can we wake ourselves up and remember it was in the context of foretelling the last day as found in the 25th chapter of Matthew's Gospel that Jesus, remember, foretold how he would come to judge the whole world, and he would judge us, remember, on one virtue, on the practice of charity. But there are scores of virtue, so there are. But for us followers of Christ, the crown of all virtues from one perspective, the foundation of all the Christian virtues from another perspective is charity. And as we know, The essence of charity is giving those who are in need. And people are in desperate need. And I wouldn't be honest with you if I did not further explain what that desperate need is. Sure, even our own United States, there are millions that are hungry in body. But the worst hunger, as the Holy Father told Mother Teresa, and told her to change her constitutions, which she did. The worst hunger and thirst is not in the body. It's in the soul. Hunger for the truth. Thirst for love. How the world needs this. I repeat, this is your faith and mine. We are talking about that article of the Apostles' Creed on which we shall all be judged. I want to make sure that when Christ comes to judge me, whatever else he will judge me for, it will not be because I've not had the courage, or shall I say the guts, to tell you people of the name of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Look to your practice of charity, and charity especially, in showing the truth of your faith. And showing the love, that selfless love, that we, as followers of Christ, have received already from the day we were baptized. One more question. A strange one. Will there be a final trial for the church on earth? Answer, yes. This is the teaching of Christ as recorded by the evangelist and Saint Paul. The faithful will be tried by opposition and persecution. The final victory over the forces of evil will shake the world to its foundations. Only God knows. I don't believe the end of the world is at hand. But there is surely enough evil, mountains of evil, to allow many people to at least surmise that maybe perhaps this is the beginning of the end. I repeat, I don't believe that is yet true. The gospel has not been preached to all the people. And that's where you people come in. What the United States needs is to be converted. And it's mainly the task of the laity. I mean that. And I'm quoting the Holy Father in one statement after another. We should all be judged. Praise God. The one prayer that should always be in our hearts and on our lips. We should all be judged. We pray and we beg that none of us will be condemned. And the way to ensure we shall not be condemned is by looking on everything which God gave us, and I mean everything which God gave us, as a gift from Him that He wants us to share with others. Lord Jesus, You are our Savior and Lord, but You are also our Judge. We trust in Your merciful love that You will not judge us adversely because we have spent the rest of our lives and expiating the sins we have committed and sharing with those You place into our lives whatever You have given to us, so that by selflessly loving them we might show how deeply and selflessly we love You. Lord Jesus, there is only one sentence we wish to hear from You when we enter eternity. Come. Come, You blessed of My Father. Possess the kingdom prepared for You from the foundations of the world. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.